Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news podcast. So, today we're going to start by talking about Linux Mint. They're apparently working on what they call ultra-fast repositories to host their packages and to make sure that users can install libraries, applications, drivers, and also update their systems as fast as possible. So they will be using a CDN, or Content Distribution Network, meaning that all their packages will be distributed on various content hosting servers all around the world. They launched this as a beta test so people can try things out just by changing the URL of their app sources to the new one, namely fastly.linuxmint.io. Once the beta test is done, and if everything seems positive and there are no unintended side effects, they will move everyone to the new repos automatically, and no one will have anything to do to benefit from the changes. Now, I will admit, I am not sure what the difference will be with the currently available mirrors. Because yes, Linux Mint's main repos are hosted somewhere else, but as far as I understood it, there were a bunch of mirrors in a bunch of locations. I know there's one in France, right close to where I live, which gives me really good download speed. So I'm not sure, maybe the mirrors weren't up to snuff in certain parts of the world, or maybe they just did not want to rely on individuals or the community hosting those mirrors, or maybe it's something else entirely, but what will be the difference when using a CDN compared to using mirrors? I'm not sure. If you know what this is all about, let me know, because I'm not sure I can quite grasp the difference between the two. Now, I talked about explicit sync early this week. This is the thing that will finally fix the remaining issues with NVIDIA on Wayland and on X-Wayland. Certain flickering problems that some people experience, certain frame pacing issues, it's just going to fix a lot of stuff that is wrong currently with NVIDIA on Wayland or with X-Wayland. And the X-Wayland part of explicit sync is now merged already. It's been submitted by NVIDIA, the code apparently takes inspiration from the corresponding Wayland protocol, and it's combined in 11 patches that apparently have been worked on since August 2022. So it's been almost 2 years of work before it was merged, which is a long time, but it's nice to finally see it coming to fruition. NVIDIA should soon have an updated binary driver, so the proprietary driver, that lets you take advantage of that as well. The Mesa drivers can already handle all of that protocol, and GNOME's compositor Mutter already supports it as well. As far as Plasma goes, I think Kwin will get that support in Plasma 6.1 planned for June. So we are not far off from finally getting rid of those frame pacing issues and that flickering problem on NVIDIA when you're gaming on Wayland and running a game through Proton, so X-Wayland, which is really, really nice. Now, personally, on my NVIDIA GPUs, I never encountered any of these issues. Gaming on Wayland with NVIDIA was just as smooth and fine as gaming on X11, but some people reported problems, so maybe it's for older GPUs or specific configurations. In any case, the problem does exist, and so having it fixed is really, really nice. And things are lining up nicely, because even if after that we still encounter issues with the NVIDIA binary drivers, well, we still also have NVK and Nuvo and potentially in the future Nova, the new open source driver for modern NVIDIA GPUs. We have all of this to look forward to. So graphics on Linux are in a really good place right now, with Intel and AMD directly contributing to their Mesa drivers, NVIDIA finally stepping up to the plate and making solid improvements to their driver, including Wayland support, and also seeing a bunch of open source initiatives for NVIDIA means that we can basically serve everyone, which is really cool. And speaking of Wayland support, the lightweight LX Qt desktop is working on its version 2.0, and with it should come the first bricks for Wayland support. Now, they are saying it will not be fully complete or fully usable under Wayland with LX Qt 2.0. It will be the case with 2.1 in autumn. Still, they will have the whole desktop environment working under Wayland in 2.0. They will have the main menu working to launch applications. They will have notifications. They will have the panel as well. And all the settings. Well, most of the settings. What will be missing in 2.0, but should be coming in 2.1, are global shortcut support, something that is still missing in a lot of other desktops, screen locking, monitor settings, and screenshot tools, plus a bunch of applets that they use on their panel, like the taskbar, which is a big missing piece, the show desktop plugin, the keyboard indicator plugin, and a few other things. So definitely 2.0 will not be fully usable under Wayland. It's probably going to be at around the same usability levels as Linux Mint's first Wayland implementation. And the LXQt desktop will support any WL roots-based compositors if you want to use something else than what they provide, like Wayfire, Hyperland, Sway, and others, or they also just support Kwin and its Wayland implementation, Kwin being the KDE compositor. So I was personally afraid that smaller desktops like LXQt, Mate, or Elementary OS would be left behind with the Wayland transition, but it looks like they're managing fine. They will arrive later than GNOME or KDE, the major desktops, but it doesn't look like they will be forcefully sticking to X11 only, either by choice or by lack of manpower. So they will not be abandoned or left along the road as everyone, or at least every major distro, transitions to using Wayland and to not even ship X.org at all anymore. So it's cool to see, and it's another argument against people who think Wayland isn't happening or shouldn't happen. It's not leaving anybody behind. It just takes more time for certain projects to catch up to what people will be using in a few years. And to complete this episode, it looks like Linux's market share, while it is growing at a slow pace, is still true growth, because we are staying above 4% at the end of March still, with a teeny tiny increase from 4.03% to 4.05%, at least if we can trust the usual stat counter data. Again, if you want to add up Chrome OS to that, that's 6.32%. It is still anecdotal in the desktop OS market, but it is steady growth and it still represents millions of computers. It also isn't spiky growth that jumps around each month, growing then shrinking, so it seems to mean that the interest in using a Linux desktop is real for people who end up using it. And as to why this growth is happening, I would say it's probably just due to an adverse reaction to Windows and Microsoft, because, well, that's the most popular operating system. Windows 11 is getting more and more ads inside of the UI. It's getting this AI chatbot crapware pushed on every single part of the system, and I'm pretty sure a bunch of people don't like that. There's the privacy invasive stuff, the fact that Edge is being pushed. I'm pretty sure a lot of people feel like they're not in control of their own computer when using Windows 11, and so this might be a reason why they're moving to Linux instead. Windows 10 is end of life, or will be end of life soon, not quite sure, but they're already planning very pricey extensions of support for companies. If Microsoft does this the usual way, normal home customers will not get that extended support. And macOS is not an option for everyone, because it means buying an entirely new computer to run it, and those computers can be pretty expensive. So if you want to keep your hardware, but you don't want to run into Microsoft's problems or annoyances, well, your best bet is to use Linux or to go back to Windows 7, which no one in their right mind should absolutely do. It's also not likely that this growth is due to the Steam Deck, because those are stat counter numbers and stat counter uses traffic from websites. The Steam Deck doesn't really visit many websites unless StatCounter can actually track the visits onto Steam's page, which I'm pretty sure they can't. So not many people use their Steam Decks as a desktop. Some people do, but not many people do. It's not the overwhelming majority of Steam Deck owners. And if we can trust the recent community survey I did, people who run the Steam Deck as their main computer are far, few and far between. There were like 39 votes out of 9,500. So virtually no one does that. So the growth is probably not due to the Steam Deck at all. Well, mainly not due to the Steam Deck. Some little points here and there might be Steam Deck users, but I would say it's probably more because, well, Linux is getting better and better and people using it are sticking to it more, and they have more reasons to want to try it because what they can currently use that isn't Linux isn't really the best out there. Okay, so this will conclude today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, thank you all so much for supporting what I do, and as always, I guess you will hear me in the next one tomorrow. Bye!